Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to eMudhra Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishi Jhunjhunwala from IIFL Institutional Equities. Over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us today on Q1 FY23 earnings call of eMudhra Limited. On behalf of IIFL Institutional Equities, I would like to thank the management of eMudhra for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Today, we have with us on the call Mr. Venkatraman Srinivasan, Founder and Executive Chairman, Mr. Saji K. Luis, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Kaushik Srinivasan, Senior Vice President, Product Development. I will hand it over to Mr. Srinivasan to give the opening remarks and take the proceedings forward. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rishi. And thanks to all of you for joining this call and welcome all of you to this call. And good afternoon to everyone and welcome to eMudhra Limited's Q1 FY 2023 earnings con call. Trust all are staying safe and healthy. And we had the results listing on BSE and NSE in June 2022. During our previous earnings call, we had presented a detailed overview of our business model and underlying strengths, our business segments and product portfolio, and the financial performance for FY 2022. Our Q1 FY 2023 investor presentation has already been shared and copy of which is available on our website and on the stock exchanges. I hope all of you had the opportunity to go through the presentation. Company overview. For all the new participants to our conference call, I would like to briefly summarize the company overview. eMudhra started its business in 2008 with a mission to accelerate the transition to secure an integrated digital ecosystem with digital identity and trust at its core for individuals and organizations. Over the past decade, we laid great focus on product development, enterprise solutions, cost management, while also laying stress on security, compliance, governance, and client support. As of now, we have around 1.6 lakh retail customers and about 1 lakh channel partners in our digital trust services segment. In the enterprise solutions, our client base is 614 and we have 277 partners in India and 288 partners in 21 countries. Our client base consists of a diversified mix of government, EFSA and private sector. Now moving on to quarterly performance. I am pleased to report that we have registered a strong quarterly number in Q1 FY 2023 and continue to maintain our growth momentum. During the year, we have delivered strong growth. During the quarter, we have delivered strong growth of Rs. 522 million with growth of 21.7% year-on-year and 15% on quarter-on-quarter basis with a strong margin profile with EBITDA margins at 40.1%. and PAT margins at 26%. The quarter-on-quarter PAT growth was 27% and year-on-year PAT growth was 44.4%. This was aided by growth in our enterprise solution business, especially in international markets. This is also a reflection of enterprises globally adopting cyber security and paperless transformation solutions as part of enterprise digital initiatives. We have also registered key project wins during the quarter, such as one implemented MCA certificate lifecycle management for a large telecom company in Asia Pacific to help them issue digital signature certificates for various B2G and B2B use cases. Completed rollout of MSigner for end-to-end paperless transformation for a large bank in West Africa for various use cases across retail and corporate banking customers. Implementing e-passport rollout for a country in Middle East using EMCA and allied solutions to comply with e-passport issuances as per International Civil Aviation Organization. when implementation of solution or usage and integration of identity-backed digital signatures for a blockchain platform in USA for secure exchange of documents. And one deal from smart cities in India for digital signature-based authentication for secure user and device access. We look forward to maintaining this growth momentum in our enterprise solution business, backed by our competitive advantage, established presence in key markets, and diverse product portfolio in the area of digital security and paperless transformation. And again, coming to the near-term strategic focus areas, globally, pandemic has resulted in businesses moving towards contactless touchpoints, processes, stroke products, and thus helping them moving towards digital ecosystem, backed by a strong focus on data security and compliance. This niche requirement has forced enterprises adopt completely digital ways of doing business, creating new business opportunities for companies like ours. eMudra is glad to be part of this digital transformation ecosystem, and our emphasis is on, one, creating market leadership through innovation, product superiority, and growing market presence across our identity, authentication, and e-signature workflow suite of offerings. And market expansion. We see opportunity in expanding the market through growth in some of the geographies where we have already been operating and penetration into newer markets through partnerships. And developing sector-specific new products. We have already been verticalizing our product container for banking industry, which has yielded good results. Similarly, we aim to focus on other industries such as insurance, pharma, where there is need for identity-based digital workflows. This will strengthen our positioning in such industries which present significant growth potential. Tapping into new age industries. There are a number of developments in the blockchain, IoT and electric vehicle ecosystem where security and identities are becoming critical. We will continue to position our digital trust offering to these new and emerging industries. With the above strategic imperatives, we intend to grow from strength to strength, clearly supported by our commitment to deliver solutions for secure digital transformation. Our more than a decade-long experience and presence in this niche space provides positions us uniquely as a one-stop shop player and continues to enable us to maintain our leadership and expand our presence in enterprise solutions both in India and internationally. I now request Mr. Sajee Lewis to take us through the overall performance of the company for this quarter.
Thank you, Mr. Srinivasan. A very good afternoon to all the attendees. I will present the recent financial performance of the company. In Q1 FY23, I am pleased to report that our revenue from operations grew by 22% year-on-year basis to ₹522 million. The revenue growth was led by enterprise solution segment, which registered revenues of worth ₹331 million, a strong growth of 52% year-on-year basis. The enterprise solution business in international markets grew by 140% on a year-on-year basis. The trust service registered revenue of $191 million with a degrowth of 9% year-on-year basis. However, it registered a sequential growth of 6%. Our EBITDA for the quarter was ₹212 million. Cut by 37% year-on-year basis, and the margins also improved from 35.2% in Q1 FY22 to 40.1% in Q1 FY23. We recorded a strong net profit of ₹137 million, up by 44% year-on-year basis, with margins of 26%. EBITDA growth and margin improvement was driven by higher contribution from enterprise solution business and operational efficiency. The company has become a debt-free at the end of June 2022. We will continue to set new strategic benchmarks across all our business categories, diversify our client base to increase our wallet share. In addition, we are working to put new growth strategies into place while optimizing and enhancing overall operational efficiencies. The combination of these factors will allow us to deliver sustainable growth and improve our profitability in the coming quarters. Thank you very much. Now we will be happy to answer any questions you have on company's recent performance or business model.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Jeswani from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, Srinivasan. Good afternoon. Sir, I've got a few questions trying to understand your business model. My first question is on the enterprise side. Sir, out of the 33 crore revenues, how much would be implementation revenue and how much would be like a recurring revenue kind of model?
As earlier indicated, out of we sell both on-premise and also the cloud model. But predominant sale is the on-premise model and some amount of sale is the cloud model, particularly in MPLR. And on the on-premise model, mainly license revenue, then some implementation customization revenue, and on the license revenue, around 20% AMC comes. So that's where within our enterprise solution, around 20% revenue is a recurring revenue. Balance revenue is a one-time revenue, but the one-time revenue, again, it depends on the number of users, number of instances and all that. So when that increases, there is a further potential to increase. Then the second aspect is we sell every 4-5 years, we do a tech upgrade. And that upgrade, the people buy a newer version instead of an older version. So that also gives the opportunity to get the new license revenue. So this is how our enterprise business model works. So quite a lot of revenue now will be predominantly the new license revenue and also the professional services revenue to implement and customize it.
Got it. Sir, so your last con call, you said that your order book had doubled from last year. So what are the trends and what's the order book as of today? Can you say, like, what's the total contract, executable contract that we have in the next, 3 months, 6 months?
Order book is improving in the same trend, but the number on what is the order book, we have not revealed. So that's where that we have to say that. So, but the trend is quite good and trend is improving.
Got it. On the trust services, sir, you get RR-based revenues also, or you get primarily from DSC-based selling is where you get the revenues? And every 2 years, the person will have to renew their DSC. Am I right?
Correct. Yes. Generally, though, technically, some DSC can be valid up to 3 years. But in India, somehow the practice of doing a 2-year DSC is there. So that's where every year, predominantly 90% people go for only 2-year DSC. So every 2 years, it has to be renewed.
Sir, do we get some money from the RR-based OTP also?
No, Aadhaar-based, there is Aadhaar-based e-sign and DSC can be issued on Aadhaar-based, both Aadhaar fingerprint and Aadhaar OTP. So those are only mechanism to ensure the KYC and after that we issue the DSC. So upon issuance of DSC, if it is a crypto token based DSC, then for that we are selling the DSC which we get. If it is a e-sign, then on the e-sign sale we get. But both are issued based on Aadhaar also. And the other method also CC office has prescribed, which is the PAN card and other address proof and all that. So on any basis which is prescribed by the Ministry of IT, we can issue. One of the basis prescribed is the Aadhaar OTP and Aadhaar fingerprint.
Right. Now, sir, trying to understand your business model a little better on the growth side. So what kind of growth rate you expect? Like today, let's say enterprise is 60% of our business, right? 19 out of total 52 crore revenue, 19 crores is trust based and the rest is enterprise. Just trying to understand where are you seeing the traction and what growth do you think that, like, what's our aspiration? Do we want to move from, let's say, a 200 crore run rate company today to a 300-400 crore company? What are the things that we have to do to get there?
No, aspiration is really big. Everybody has to aspire big, then only one can stick any leg. So that aspiration is really big. But the thing is, as earlier, even in the earlier meeting, we have told that the enterprise business is likely to grow better than the trust service business. because the enterprise business is not only limited to India, there is a global growth possibilities are there. And even the market research reports and all had predicted almost 30-35% growth rate in globally on this various enterprise solutions what we are having. So that's where we are more and more enriching those enterprise solutions. One is as part of this project for which we raised money, three new products we are doing which are complementary to our product like remote signing, discovery and IoT certificate and all that. Apart from that also we are evaluating more on how when the quantum computing comes, what is to be done with the cryptography. Then even today, if you see for this cryptography, one of the things is the storage happens in a machine called HSM and all these HSM machines are imported. So whether anything can be done on the HSM, research can be done. So like that, many areas, allied areas we are working on. And then see how to grow in those areas, not only domestically but globally.
My last question on the trust business side. So why did you see a 9% revenue drop in the trust business? Because in a YOY basis, because assuming it's not return filing season but this quarter, but that was the same thing last quarter as well. Do you see decent, like, because I was seeing that Frost and Solvent reported was showing 18-20% growth. Do you expect 18-20%? Because I understand your enterprise business is where the hyperscale will happen for you, right? And that is a very large opportunity. Just trying to understand, do you think you can, your the DSC model way of working can get disrupted?
Yes. No, the growth in 18-20%, the growth has to happen not only in the DSC business, but also including the SSL business. And we have got the SSL, because SSL also will get classified under the trust service. So that full ability to do SSL we got only in December. Now we are perfecting the SSL systems and already some orders have come, so that is one area of growth which has to happen. And the second thing is the more and more issuances to IoT devices, that also has to happen. Then to your question, why the last year first quarter to this year first quarter, why there is a drop? Because there is also a pricing pressure compared to the last year first quarter. So because of the pricing pressure also it happened. But sequential quarter we have grown, and generally also the trust service Indian DSC business is the weakest during the first quarter of every year. Then once the signing season and filing season pick up, it will improve. And in the fourth quarter also, because of the lot of government tender and all, it will improve. But the first quarter is generally weakest quarter. So that's where we feel definitely it will pick up in the coming quarter, and also the SSL and IoT also is picking up. So including all that, this is what the Frost and Sullivan report projects almost.
Sir, I was just going through in your retail market, which is 24% market share. Okay, like out of your trust services, 24% is retail. There, sir, your realization is 1300-1400 rupees per DSC, right?
Yes.
And your distribution business, which is 75% of the business, there our realization is 300 rupees. Basically, our margins are way higher in the retail part, right?
Correct.
So why are we not scaling up the retail part aggressively? Why are we not, like, because your realizations are basically amazing, right? Your gross margins are like 95% plus in that side. So why are we not scaling up the
retail part? We are scaling up. If you see last 3 years, retail business has grown 3 times. So now we are putting more aggressive our aims. Even now we are in terms of volume, we are only 4-5% of volume in retail business. Our aim is to grow it to 10% over the years. But for that again, earlier lot of impediments were there. I had explained in an earlier call also. Because 2 years back everything was not fully digital. So we needed these RAs, sub-RAs to do document verification and all that. So that's why at that time direct retail business was not viable, but now it is viable and we have started 2 years back. Now we have come to considerable position. This is where we are putting more focus and then improving the direct sales. But it takes a lot of time, and another thing is the people are also aligned with their chartered accountant, their company secretary, and they are aligned with some wholesale distributors. So these are all breaking all these and approaching that, it will take some time, but it is happening. So it is not that last 2-3 years retail has not grown. In last 2-3 years almost it has grown 3 times. And we expect that is where the growth will come, because in the partner-led model continuously it will come under more pricing pressure. But this retail model is where we feel the growth can really happen in terms of the value.
Sir,
and we are definitely working towards this.
I wish you all the luck, sir. I've got more questions, but we probably catch up soon. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vimal Gohil from Elfin Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to check on again on trust services. The performance of a 9% YoY growth, decline, sorry. Despite the fact that we do have an inflation-led adjustments with every year we would have some kind of inflation that we have with our clients, especially the retail clients. So when the renewal happens at a certain inflation rate, firstly, what is that inflation rate? And despite having that clause, what really this fall of 9% seems to be, if you could just help us match the numbers there.
Yeah. No, the main thing is, as I said, compared to last year first quarter, if you see, the prices were higher. And comparatively with more and more competitive price in the channel, I'm not talking about price in the retail. So almost to compare to that, some 10 to 15% prices have reduced over the next 1 or 2 quarters. So, and we are currently working, even at the time of public issue, we worked with the revised prices only, which is currently also continuing. So that's where compared to the first quarter, there is a decline. But compared to the last quarter, there is a growth, because in spite of the, generally the growth happens in the DSC business in the more in the filing season, and also in the last quarter where a lot of tender filing seasons are happening in the government. So both are very important driver. Generally it is less in the first quarter. In spite of it, compared to the Q4 of last year, it has grown almost 6% because of this. In spite of the price decline compared to the previous year first quarter. So that way it is in an increasing trend only, not in a declining trend. But the mainly because of the pricing pressure compared to 1 year back, it is compared to that, it is slightly lower.
Sir, you think that at this given run rate, you will be able to sort of report growth for the full year for trust services?
What is it? I didn't get the question clear.
For the full year, sir, are we on track to report growth for trust services vis-a-vis FY22?
Yeah. Okay. The main season is in the next 2 quarters, and third, fourth quarter are the tender filing season and all that. Then another thing which is accelerating is the SSL. But the SSL itself, we have started getting some orders now, that will also accelerate. So that's it.
So the SSL business, sorry to interrupt, the SSL business is the certificate, website certificate business, right?
The press certificate, yeah. The website certificate, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, please carry on.
Yeah, so that's where we feel we will be in trend only.
Correct. And sir, last year margins, we are at the level at what we are right now, at almost 40%. How much more upside from here, and if at all there is going to be an upside, where is that going to come from? I mean, I'm sure if you really want to sort of scale up the enterprise business, you will have to invest probably in more manpower bandwidth, etc. Where do you see the margins coming from, or what are the levers to maintain margins at these levels?
No, maintaining it, because ours is a product business, from the additional sale, gross margin will be higher. But to get more and more additional sale and growth momentum, we need to employ more people in multiple geographies. So that will also involve cost. So I would safely assume that current EBITDA margin of 40%, if we maintain it, is very good and it is maintainable. So assuming that we may go to 45%, 50%, maybe if we go it may be possible, but I'm thinking that I don't want to go into that direction.
Fair enough, sir. Congratulations once again on a strong quarter, and all the very best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vivek Geda from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, I wanted to check on the Enterprise India business. Looks like bulk of our growth came from outside India, And from that context, while our enterprise India partners grew by 8%, what happened to the revenue? Was it actually higher as well on a YoY basis?
Enterprise India, lot of large government business, the sites were not fully ready and they could not go with the implementation and all that. So that's where those revenues could not be booked. So that's why there is a slightly that did not grow as well as how international business grew. But the order book, everything is intact, and then the more of implementation now we are planning in the second quarter. So with that, I think it will come back in the second and third quarter.
Got that. So even overall, if I look at the overall India versus outside business, India business declined quite significantly on a YoY basis. And even adjusting for something like trust services, which was down probably 2 crore rupees, where was the, I mean, that's, I think, pretty much what overall business was also declining. Sorry, I think that answer is, that answers my question. I only think what percentage of revenue has come from system integrators in this quarter?
No, I didn't get your question properly. Can you repeat the question?
Sorry, just on the enterprise business, what percentage of revenue has come from system integrators?
Out of enterprise business, how much come from system integrators? That's what you are asking.
Right? Yeah.
I think it came around 28 to 30%.
28 to 30%.
See, though, some of the government projects now we are directly winning. Some of the government projects only come through the system integrator, so it is around the same thing.
Got that. Lastly, I in fact wanted to check on the margin part itself. 40% margin seems to be much before our expectations. Is that function of also revenue mix? You spoke about licenses being higher and because of which your gross margins were better. But I also want to check if is that a function of the revenue mix in this quarter? I mean, is there a difference between exports and domestic by any chance and trust services and enterprise, for example? We know that.
No, the hardware, if you see the gross margin level, is almost maintained. If you see the Q1 FY22 was 82.4%. Then Q4 FY22 was 83%, and then Q1 FY23 also 83.5%. So the mix of hardware to software and the enterprise rather, that mix remains the same. Still, we are not heavily focusing on the hardware business. So if you put too much of hardware into that, top line can increase, but it can reduce the margin, gross margin.
Okay. So, just to get this right, in the next quarter when the trust services business kind of improves again, I mean, as a percentage of overall revenue, our margins could still sustain around 40%?
Yeah. EBITDA margin, no?
Yes. Yeah, EBITDA margin.
Trust service also predominantly the DSE only, no?
Yeah.
Not much is the token which is a hardware. So, as long as it is DSE is what we are aiming, that margin can be sustained.
Okay. Lastly, I think you also called out that there are macro challenges. While your exports have done really well, I just wanted to get an outlook on exports from a full year basis. Since you called out the macro challenges as well, has it impacted in form of delays or deferments in any part of your order book so far?
No, not up to now. Because macro challenges are at a very big level, we are only looking at a niche segment and not such a large number to in a way of affecting the macro challenge. No. So that way, up to now, it has not affected up to now the pipeline, order book, everything going very well. So not that way.
And we are on track to strong exports this year compared to what we were expecting earlier?
Yeah. Definitely, because more and more lot of projects are coming. Even in US there was a very good win. Now another one good win we are expecting in this quarter from the US, which comes that could itself be a $1 million order per year. So those kind of things.
Thanks, I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Amrish Kakkar, an individual investor.
Thank you for the opportunity and many congratulations to everyone for a fantastic set of results. Just a follow up on the earlier question on enterprise revenue split. I understand that you know the AMCs will probably kick in 1 year after the license is installed. But would it be possible going forward to split the revenues into customization, license, and AMC? And what could be that split as of today, if you're able to share for this quarter, please?
No, quarterly splitting is very difficult. On the whole, generally, the AMC is around 18 to 22% of the AMC which is start. And in that, again, somewhere it starts immediately upon delivery of license, also somewhere in 3 months, somewhere in 1 year. So that way, exactly, in each, then it has to get into project ways, which is very different steps.
But the customization revenue, is that possible to understand what proportion is it, half the revenue, or is it less?
No, customization will be 20% of the overall project, not more. Yeah.
Okay.
But ours are all quickly implementable projects, and we don't entertain too much customization.
Okay, perfect. Just on that, following up on that, just to understand the cost evolution as well, is there anything to read into the increase in employee cost as a percentage of revenue? Is this a more normalized trend because of pricing in the market, or are we already starting investing in, say, the US or something like that?
Yeah, we have already started employing more people not only in geographies, other US as well as other geographies, and also for the inside sales and sales in India. So that's where, in line with the sales trend, it will increase, but percentage-wise, it will still mean the EBITDA margin.
Okay. Thank you. Last question, if just to understand a little the cost of goods sold, you have something called operating expenses. What is this? Is this your data center cost? What exactly, how should we read this and understand this going forward?
And the operating expenses mainly, for example, for our trust service revenue, we are paying commission to the channel partners. So who are achieving whatever budget prescribed. So those commissions, so whatever is directly relatable to the revenue, that comes under the operational expenses. And for example, for some company, if we do a resource-based billing, monthly billing kind of thing, that will also come under operating expenses. Then wherever we sell HSM or where we sell the token, so that will be hardware, so that will come under the purchase of stock in trade and also change in stock of stock in trade. So that represents the hardware, predominantly hardware revenue, but the operating expense related to the commission revenue and the other direct expenses relating to a specific sale. Those are all coming.
Okay, so this is more driven off the trust business. I mean, there will always be other customers.
Business, sometimes in some enterprise business also, where we give commission, where we are transfer pricing, then we not only come in the top line, but where we are billing directly to the end customer and passing on some 20% commission or 10% commission, those will come under the operating expense.
Thank you very much for that, and wish you all the best and your team. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone who wishes to ask a question, may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Amit Jaiswani from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, just trying to understand, since you spoke about the SSL business, broadly, sir, people sell SSL certificates for 400, 500 rupees, right? Is there a number of websites that we are looking to target? Like, we want to have, let's say, like 10 lakh SSL certificates. Or like, what is it that we offer that the competition doesn't offer? Because, sir, this is a very competitive market.
Yeah, Kaushik will answer this question. Maybe Kaushik can answer.
Yeah, so when Frost & Sullivan did the research, they estimated the India market size itself to be around 250 crore. And the 400-500, again, there are three types of certificates. One is a DB certificate, OB certificate, and EB certificate. The OB, EB certificates are much, much sort of higher in terms of their pricing, right? So while there is no exact estimate on the number of websites, as you can see, the number is fairly large both in India and globally. And that's the market that we're looking to go after immediately in India. And then adjoining emerging markets and over time establish, you know, a base for going global.
Right. Got it. So I was just speaking about the next few quarters of growth. Do you think it's a good way of modeling 35% growth, or we'll do better than the industry growth in the enterprise business for the next 3, 4, 5 quarters?
No, we do not want to give any guidance. So.
But sir, we'll be growing at least at the industry size. Is that right way of thinking?
Yeah. So that's why we don't want to go. We work hard to see what's good, whatever maximum can be possible, but we don't want to give any guidance for this future growth.
Right, sir. Right, so on one question I was trying to understand, in our India business we've got 600 customers, right? And global business we've got 50 customers. And then how do we calculate that recurring model that 90% of our clients are recurring? It's only the 20% of the revenue which is recurring, and that's how we count that the retention ratio is 90%?
No. Those same customers, if they order next year also something, for example, additional licensing they order, or additional some other product they order, or for maintenance they order something, or they say, okay, we give you a staffing assignment of 5 people to do some further customization. So wherever the customer, again, next year also, they continue to be the customer. Apart from just using the product, apart from using the product, everybody will use. But they give some fresh revenue to us, we are calculating as a recurring customer. But it will not be like a servicing, staffing service IT company, where the same level of service, 100 people means 100 people will continue. It is not like that.
Got it. So this 614 customers are largely financials or they are across industry? Largely the financials, am I right? Financials and the government.
Across the industry. Government is also there, then the BFSI is there, then the other industries also there. Because our products are really industry agnostic. So if you see the three products, one is the paperless transformation, it can be used for any industry. Though banking specific product we have made, but general product is also there, which goes into any industry. Similarly, EMAS authentication solution also industry agnostic and predominantly used by a lot of government organizations and also large banks. Then if you see the CA solution, it is a specific solution for creating a certifying authority and then issuing the certificate itself. So, which is again a separate industry. It is not a EFSA industry or a government industry, but today more and more of in niche areas like the defense and various things, they want to issue their own certificates and encrypt everything so that the data become very confidential. So, they don't want to use the public certifying authority's digital certificate. So this is another area, this is an issue area which is evolving and where we are able to supply our products. So it is across industries.
Got it. So if our enterprise business is like a tech services business model, right, where analysts will start looking at your business on quarter to quarter basis, right, like quarter over quarter growth, whereas our trust service business has got seasonality, right? So sir, in trust services, do you have this thing that typically Q1 is 20% of the revenue, Q2 is 20%, Q3 is probably 50%, something like that.
The seasonality in trust service is also not very high like what it used to be. But somewhat it is there, but in the next 3 quarters it may not be highly seasonal. In the first quarter generally it is slightly less.
Got it. So first quarter would be like 20%, rest would be probably 27, like that you're saying. Got it. And so the enterprise business, should we look at like a IT services company, but quarter over quarter growth is what we focus on?
Yeah, quarter over quarter, but it is not like an IT services company. In IT services business, it is based on the number of people you employ and for the same people again and again. Until they come out of that company, they will be continuously billed. Here, you have to supply the product, and on the product, there will be an ALC, there will be customization, then product is licensed, so as long as they use additional licenses, they give additional business and additional money to us like that. So first we may give 50 user license, then 100 user license, then somebody comes. So generally we don't give, unless it is a very large company where we want that brand, we don't give an enterprise-wide license. We give only limited user license and limited number of server license, so that there is an additional scope for earning from the same company. So it is not proportionate to the how many people we are employing or not like that.
Got it. So we've got three products. EM Signer would be our largest product?
Yes.
Got it. So any, like how big do you think we can scale this EM? Because we're trying to understand, this is a new business, right? And there is no other company like yours which is listed. So just trying to understand, how big can this EM Signer business get? And how big is that global market for that EM Signer? Because I know you're very popular for the EM Signer part. Like globally?
No, global business, if you see DocuSign, they are also a paperless workflow product. And they had some 2-3 years back in their prospectus, they had written the global market size is 25 billion. And they even achieved 2 billion revenue. So that way, globally immense potential will be there. And how far we are pumping the money and we are able to capture the global market and all that. Another thing is, even as per the market research report, we are also ranked on par with the big players. So that's where over time good potential is there. But now we are not into that league. We are now only at a very smaller level compared to all of them. So I feel there is a very good potential over time.
Perfect, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishi Dhunjanwala from IIFL Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. So, firstly, on the enterprise solution business and the revenues and the pipeline that is coming from outside India, can you give some color in terms of, you know, which geographies have been doing relatively better, both on revenue as well as on pipeline? And also, I think earlier you had mentioned that Incrementally, we are going into a software as a service model for international geographies. Is it something that's playing out at all, and how much of proportion would be coming from that?
Yeah, firstly, which geography is doing? Only the US. US itself is kicking up well. So now we have got one order in the first quarter. Then again, another good order we are negotiating. We are hopeful we will get it in the second quarter. If it gets, it will do well in the US. And the Middle East continues to do well. So we got another large bank order in the last quarter. And one or two more banks we are negotiating, particularly in the Middle East and also in the Africa. So, and in Europe again, we are negotiating through one of the major system integrator in the UK market. So that way the international business is going very well. And I think it will go as per our whatever we had internally projected and all that. So this is one thing. Then the second question is about what?
From a revenue model perspective. Yeah.
Recurring revenue. In the recurring revenue side, we have to make everything more into a, that also we are consciously starting the effort. One is the on the using on the cloud, but today our product usage is predominantly not on the cloud, predominantly in the on-premise model. On-premise model itself, how can we make it into a recurring model? That is another attempt we are making. So that instead of collecting the license revenue upfront, we can make it into a 3-year license, 5-year license, 2-year license like that. And then every 2-year renewable, so that is also starting. So in one or two places on that basis, we have bid, and in one place most likely on that basis we will win also. So that is it. Now only it is starting. So maybe over next 1 or 2 years, it will get into some size. May not take into some big size in the immediate year, but in the next 2 years it can go.
Understood. And in terms of proportion of revenues coming from EM signer versus EMCA versus EMS, I mean, is any one particular product outgrowing the other two in terms of their revenue share within solutions?
So it is in the same order. Main thing is EM signer, next is EMCA, and the third is EMS. So in the same order it is going. Even in international order, the EM signer is where even the Middle East bank mainly went for the EM signer. Then the African banks also going for EM signer. But EMCA product also one or two traction we had, one in Middle East itself and also in Europe. So that way it's also going. But proportion wise EM signer is much better. It's more compared to EMCA. And we are one more thing on the MCA also, we are saying how to do into a SaaS model so that as a managed service if we can offer the MCA. So once our certificate discovery product is ready, which may take another maybe 2 to 3 months time, then we may be able to offer that as a SaaS model MCA also. So then that can also grow very well.
Okay. Sir, on the trust services on the DSC, basically while you mentioned about pricing compression on a year-on-year basis, but would you have some color in terms of volume market share if that number has gone up, gone down, how it has moved over the last 12 months?
No, volume has not gone down. The volume we are monitoring every month on month basis. Volume has not gone down and we may be same. Even for this year we calculate the thing, we may be still 37-38% of market share which we are sure, but we have not done such engagement which we may have to do. But we may need the share. So volume has not grown. But compared to the first quarter of last year, because what happened is last quarter of 21-22, because what is happening, the price suddenly improves. Everybody come together and improve the price. Then the price go on dropping, then after that again sometime it will improve. So such a major improvement in the price happened in the January to March 2021. Then in March, April to May 2021 was also price higher, then the price reduced. But for all of our internal working, we had assumed the reduced pricing only. So compared to that pricing, it is not further reduced or anything like this. So we are able to maintain it and everybody is realizing and everybody is maintaining it also. So that's where I feel in the coming 3 quarters, because the season is coming and because the finally last quarter, all the government tender and other things will come, and also SSL will come, we definitely can achieve whatever we had in this season.
Understood. Sir, the other question is on employee costs. So what is our wage hike cycle? In which quarter do we end up giving it? How much have we or do we plan to do? And also, if you can give some color on hiring for the year.
We give the wage hike from April 1st of every year. So this year we have already given. So the total wage hike given is almost for the people whom hike is given, it is around 16%. But there are also new joinees for whom the hike may not be given. So on the total, if you take everything into account, it is around 12% hike which has been given. So then in the next quarter that hike will not come because we generally give the hike from April 1st.
And hiring, sir, what is the headcount and what are the plans for hiring for this year?
Hiring based on need it is going on. So almost at present we want to hire around 200 people. And last quarter I think some 50-60 people has been hired. And now we want to hire 200 people because we want to position mainly for the inside sales and also some of the international roles so that we can deeply penetrate the market.
Great. And just one last question on margins. So now that we are operating at almost 40% EBITDA, just wanted to understand over the next 12 months, do we have planned investments which will ensure that margins normalize a bit lower compared to where you were in FY22, or we are actually, you know, the profitability of the business has improved and this is something that can be maintained even with the planned investments we have for the next year?
So in the planned investment, if you see, the data center, product development, these kind of investment, one is the out of the public issue money, one is the repayment of loan which we have repaid. And the second thing is the data center investment, which will get capitalized, but some depreciation will come, but it will not affect the EBITDA. But it may affect the PAT to some extent. Then the product development also will be capitalized. But the main thing which can affect is the US market expansion, where it may go into revenue expenditure. But to that extent, we will also do it gradually, so that when along with the improvement in the revenue, if improvement in revenue happens, that can add to more margin, so this cost can be offset. But 1 or 2% here and there can be there, but we will not do in a very indiscriminate manner so that the margin falls down in a big way.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants to press star and one. The next question is from the line of Amit Shah from Deep Research Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, you're audible. Please proceed.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions on the growth front. So if we see our enterprise business this quarter, they've grown about 50% for this quarter, and our growth for the trust services business we are down 9%. So anyone highlighting that this is a one-off quarter in terms of pricing pressure in that zone. So can we see a 230-240 crore revenue number, let's say FY23, and from there onwards we could see maybe 25% growth, where enterprise business grows at 30% and the trust services business grows at 20%. Is that a fair assumption to me?
No, this is where I explained, no, we do not want to give a guidance as a policy. So, if we create this little amount to give a guidance.
No, this is just to understand, because if the numbers, if you just translate the numbers to enterprise, growth is fairly high.
You have to interpret, I do not want to record any guess and give a guidance.
Got it. So, in this pricing question which you spoke about, which happened this quarter, so is that a phenomenon which keeps happening every year, or is it something which is one-off which has happened this year?
No, every 2-3 years it happens. So what happens is, because the competitors think that they're putting more, reduce the price, there can be a market share more, then they come down to a certain point and again, everybody jacks up. So this last 7-8 years, it has continuously happened like this. So again, last year the prices were reset, because before that it was 185, 175 from there. Suddenly it was reset to 340, 350 during the COVID time. Then from there again, it started coming down, and now it has stabilized almost from even July, August of last year itself. It is more or less stabilized. It is not declining at that rate.
So let's say the prices 7-8 years back were 100 rupees. So what will that price today? Let's say 500 rupees.
DAC started, if you see the Information Technology Act, they have put a maximum price of 25,000 rupees for DAC.
Right.
That was original. From there, it went up to even 80 rupees at one point of time. So then again, it went up to 350, 400 rupees. Then again, went down. Like this, went up and down. Over the last hour of years.
Got it. And finally, what would be your capital allocation policy? Because you'd be generating close to 55 crores of profits. In FY23, so that could be redistributed as dividends to shareholders, or you have some other acquisitions to make. What kind of reinvestments you
looking at? We had a dividend distribution policy, you know, up to 35% of our Indian profit will be distributed as dividend. In line with that, the last year also we are distributing around 10 crore as dividend. So, and again, if you see the cash balance also, we have raised the money, and then we are cash positive. And EBITDA positive, net profit is there, net profit plus depreciation, cash accrual will be there. So with the result, we, as per policy, we will be distributing dividend.
Okay. So we won't be having any interest costs in the next 3 quarters?
No, because we have fully repaid the loan. No?
Right. And just coming back to the license AMC revenues which you spoke earlier. So 20% would be recurring revenues for us, and 80% would be one time. After 4 or 5 years, you would get an upgrade of the software, that's where they'll pay you back. Is that a right assumption to make?
No, out of that one time is limited to 50 user, 100 user, at and when they cross the number of users, they have to pay the additional license revenue.
So that way it is not that for next 5 years you have no revenue. Next 5 years also incremental revenue will be there, but it may not be as much as the originally when you enter. Some cases it can be originally what you are doing. Some cases it may be lower. Originally you have entered with a 200 people license. Then additionally 10 people they want or 20 people they want. They will pay extra every year. But it may not be equal to the 200 people license.
Got it. And let's say what kind of new product innovations we are doing, be it in other platforms or other applications. So what kind of revenue, let's say the new products would have generated in the last 3 years? Any idea on that?
So the new products are all allied products to our existing lines. So if you see the remote signing product, it is again trust, allied to trust service. If you see the certificate discovery product, again allied to trust services. Then if you see the other IoT product, it is again related to our own side, the MCA as well as the trust services. So within this group of product, we are enriching the operational aspect and enriching the product which will give our competitive capability and also enhance our pricing power. So we are not going totally into a completely new product which will give a new set of revenue.
Got it. And your focus, let's say, for the next 3 or 4 years will be completely on enterprise business, right? The paperless transformation market, which you all have been speaking about. Or it will be on the DSE side, where opportunity is a bit limited, but your margin is significantly high.
The enterprise side will grow more, but nevertheless, even the trust service side also will grow. And trust service side also, we are trying to go more and more international. So both sides will grow, but the percentage growth we feel at this juncture could be more in the enterprise side than in the trust service.
And in the trust services which you are taking it outside of India, what kind of competition would you be facing there? What would be having for it to be a market where you would have a first more advantage?
Well, initially, we are taking it to countries where the number of providers are low. So that's where in Africa we are taking, and in the Middle East we are taking, where the number of providers are lower. Well, the number of providers are very high, there we have not yet taken, and there we are trying to align with other trust service provider and sell our solutions through them or to their customers.
So is it fair to assume that the outside of India revenue will be around 50% in the next 2 years? Right now for this quarter it will be around 35% or so. So would it be fair to assume it will be 50% after 2 years?
International revenue, over time, because international is a very huge opportunity. So it will grow in a big way.
And the payment terms will be similar, right, as of India?
What is it?
The receivable terms will be similar as that of India?
International receivables could be better than India. Because generally, internationally, the credit terms are fully honored and then the procedural hassles are lower. So that way the credit will be better. It will be better more to when you go to the US and Europe and all that, but Middle East, Africa, it will be similar to India.
Because Europe and US would have established competition already, right? Countries in Africa or Middle East would, where that is where you would have lesser competition to penetrate into.
No, Europe and US also, because if you see today, the kind of range what we have developed, not many companies have developed even in US and Europe. So even within Europe itself, we are trying to, our MCA product is taken by one of the system integrators to substitute a local European product with our MCA product. So that way it is not that there is a lot, number of people there. So our product superiority is there, and then the name is there, and it is featured in major reports like Gartner report, and IDC report and all this, so that's where we are able to finish.
Right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Gedda from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead. Gedda, I have unmuted your line. Please proceed with your question. As there was no response from the participant, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishi Jhunjhunwala from IIFL Institutional Equities for closing comments.
Yes, thank you. So on behalf of IIFL Institutional Equities, we'd like to thank the management of eMudhra Limited to give us the opportunity of hosting this call. I will hand it over now to Mr. Srinivasan for any closing remarks. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I once again thank all of you for joining our Q1 FY 2023 earnings call, and thank you for continuing to follow our journey as we embark on our mission to accelerate society's transition to a secure, integrated digital world. For further questions, you can feel free to connect with our investor relations team for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.